Who, what, when, where, and why?
Those are those classic questions, right?
Questions that are taught as the investigative questions of the English language. You ask these things so that you can complete a story, so that you can read an article. Articles, if you ever wrote an article for any kind of publication, you gotta tell the who, what, when, where, and why. You gotta tell what's going on, the details. If you're like me and you watch any kind of crime shows, you know, you watch those detective shows, what do they look for? Who, what, when, where, and why. They want to know those details. And the same thing happens in Bible study. One of the best ways to study the Bible is come to the Bible with those questions. The who, what, when, where, and why. You know, when you start asking those questions, who did this? Or who were the characters? And what's going on here? And why are they there? How is this happening? All of those questions. But there are also questions of desperation. Who, what, when, where, why, how. They're questions of desperation. Questions that we tend to ask when life is falling apart, right? We ask the questions that, you know, God, why is this happening to me? You know, whose fault is this? How am I going to come through this? How do I find my way? What do I need to do? All those questions. And surely these are questions that Joseph was asking as we left him last week. We left him last week. He's just interpreted the dreams for the cupbearer and the baker. And, you know, he tells the cupbearer, you know, tell Pharaoh about me, remember me. And it says, plain as day, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Joseph had to have been asking these questions when we left him. Who's going to help me? What is it going to take for me to get out of here? When am I going to be rescued? Is this where I'm going to die? Why is this happening? How can this continue? As we continue our series about Joseph covered, seeing God's hand in every situation, we pick up when 2 years have passed. Have you ever waited 2 years for anything? Waiting 2 years is almost impossible when things are going great. When you're happy, when things are happening how you want them to happen, waiting 2 years seems like an eternity. I cannot imagine what it's like to wait 2 years when you're stuck in prison for something that you didn't do. When you're sitting there and you know you should not be here, and not only are you in prison, you've been kidnapped from your homeland, you've been sold into slavery, you don't even have your freedom. Here you are, you ask the one guy that you had a chance to talk to somebody about it, to get you out, and he forgot about you. And you're there for 2 years, day in and day out. And in this time, at the end of this 2 years, or sometime in this 2 years, Pharaoh begins having these dreams. He has a couple of dreams. The first one is he's at the Nile and seven healthy cows come out. And then seven sickly cows come out who eat the healthy cows. And then the second dream is that seven healthy heads of grain come up on one stalk. And there are seven scorched and withered ones come up. And the scorched and withered ones eat the healthy. And Pharaoh wakes up. Doesn't know what to do with these dreams. And he sends for all of his wise men. He sends for all of the magicians. And no one can interpret his dream. Does that sound familiar? I mean, that was happening last week. No one can interpret their dreams. They were despondent. They were upset. And so, this sounds familiar to the cupbearer too. The cupbearer goes, oh, yeah, no one can interpret your dream. You know, I know a guy. And so he tells him of Joseph. He says, you know, when I was in prison, you know, Pharaoh, that time when you put me there, don't mean to bring it up, but Your Majesty, but there was this guy in prison with me who I had a dream and the baker had a dream, remember? And I can't imagine being so nervous, the cupbearer. And remember, I came back and you gave me my job back and you killed the other dude? I mean, there was a guy in prison. He told us about our dreams. I bet he could do you. This is a big step for the cupbearer. I want you to think about it. He doesn't even know that Joseph's still alive. It's been 2 years, and Joseph's been in prison. The cupbearer forgot about it. All of a sudden, he goes, oh, dreams, yeah, I remember that. Hey, Pharaoh, there's this guy. And so Pharaoh goes, well, it's worth the shot. None of you losers can get this done for me. So let me call the guy in prison that I don't even know who he is. Let's see if he can get it done. So he calls for Joseph, and that's where we pick up in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it. I'm not able to, Joseph answered Pharaoh. It is God who will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when 7 well-fed, healthy-looking cows came up from the Nile and began to graze among the reeds. And after them, 7 other cows, ugly, very sickly and thin, came up. I've never seen such ugly ones as these in all the land of Egypt. Then the thin, ugly cows ate the first 7 well-fed cows. When they had devoured them, you could not tell that they had devoured them. Their appearance was as bad as it had been before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I had also seen 7 heads of grain, plump and ripe, coming up on one stalk. And after them, 7 heads of grain, withered, thin, and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up. The thin heads of grain swallowed the 7 plump ones. I told this to the magicians, but no one can tell me what it means. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 ripe heads are 7 years. The dreams mean the same thing. The 7 thin, ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 worthless, scorched heads of grain are 7 years of famine. It is just as I told Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt. After them, 7 years of famine will take place, and all the abundance in the land of Egypt will be forgotten. The famine will devastate the land. The abundance of the land will not be remembered because of the famine that follows it, for the famine will be very severe. Since the dream was given twice to Pharaoh, it means that the matter has been determined by God and he will carry it out soon. So now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint overseers over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Let them gather all the excess food during these good years that are coming under Pharaoh's authority. Store the grain in the cities so they may preserve it as food. The food will be a reserve for the land during the 7 years of famine that will take place in the land of Egypt. Then the country will not be wiped out by the famine. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find anyone like this, a man who has God's spirit in him? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one as intelligent and wise as you are. You will be over my house, and all my people will obey your commands. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, see, I am placing you over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him with fine linen garments, and placed a gold chain around his neck. He had Joseph ride in his second chariot, and servants called out before him, Abrek! So he placed him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but no one will be able to raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt without your permission. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paaneah and gave him a wife, Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now. We thank you. We praise you for your blessings. Father, we ask that you would take this time and use it for your glory. Father, use me as the vessel of the words that I speak be yours and yours alone. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask all these things in the name of your son Jesus and for his sake. And all God's people said. Amen. Such a great story. So many things going on here. But the first thing right off the bat that we have to remember, because we're coming off of last week, is that when men forget, God remembers. The cupbearer forgot. I mean, he got everything he ever wanted. He got put back where he wanted to be. And he forgot about Joseph. He forgot about the very man who gave him hope to get through the days there in the prison. He forgot. And so there Joseph was for 2 years waiting, but God never forgot. God always remembered. People will let us down. People will forget. Not because you're unimportant. That's the issue. It's not because we're unimportant to people that they forget. It's that people are people, and our lives get busy, and things overwhelm us. It's because life happens. We all mean well, and then we forget. We forget things easily. That's why when someone texts me and says, "Hey, can you pray for this?" I'll tell them, "I'll pray now," and I pray right then. Because if I say yes and I don't pray right then, I'm going to forget to pray. Not because I don't mean to pray, not because it's not important, but because I'm just going to get busy. Life is going to happen, and I'm going to find myself in a situation where I don't know what else to do. What we find here, though, is that God remembers when people have written you off or forgotten you in the dungeon of life, God knows exactly where you are. He knows. He understands what you're walking through. He understands what it is that you're dealing with. He understands that place that you're in that you didn't want to be in. And He understands that you don't want to be there. He knows where you are. When you're forgotten by the world, you're never forgotten by God. You're always on His mind. I'm singing a Willie Nelson song. You know, you were always on my mind. There He is. Because you're always on God's mind. God knows where you are. He knows every hair on your head. He knows exactly what it is you're going through. He knows the things that stress you out and the things that lift you up. He understands the pits of despair that you might find yourself in, but He doesn't let you walk through them by yourself. He does not forget you. God remembers. But people don't. And the cupbearer didn't until he did. You know, when God reminds you of something you've forgotten, act on the remembrance. The cupbearer could have went, "I remember a time like that," and walked away, right? I mean, because it's unheard of to speak to Pharaoh. I don't know that I need to say this. I don't know that I need to remind him that at one time he was angry with me. He could have just walked away. When God brings something back to your memory, act on it. There's a reason why He's bringing it up. There's a reason why He's showing it to you. What would have happened if the cupbearer hadn't acted on his remembrance? How long would Joseph have had to have waited? We shouldn't question the validity. How many times have we done that? Somebody comes to our mind, and they're there for a reason. We go, "Well, I don't really know, so I'm just going to leave it alone." What's the worst that could happen if you act on it? Well, I don't know if they're still going through that, so I probably don't need to pray for that for them anymore. Even if the prayer needs passed, could they not still use prayer? Isn't prayer something that can always be used? One of our biggest issues with our prayer list on Wednesday nights is that sometimes we can't remember what the need was, or we haven't had an update. There are people on there and we go, "Who is that?" And everybody in the room goes, "I don't know." There was a time where it took us 45 minutes to get through it because everybody in the room besides me and Ellen were going, "Well, that's so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so's grandson. And I heard that they were..." So somebody knew. But now we don't know. And so what do we do with them? We pray anyway. I don't know what they're going through, but they're going through something. And if they're God's, they're on His mind. He wants to care for them. He wants to walk with them through it. You know, maybe when someone pops into your mind, it's God's way of saying you should act in their life. You should do something. You should reach out. You know, God came to the cupbearer there. He reminded the cupbearer so that his plan for Joseph could be completed. What if the cupbearer hadn't have heard that Pharaoh had dreams that couldn't be interpreted? God put the cupbearer in a place so he would know. I have a feeling they didn't have Facebook. You know, Pharaoh didn't get up and say, "Oh, had bad dreams last night. Let's make sure what they mean." That didn't happen. The cupbearer was in a position to hear what had happened. And so he went, "Oh, I forgot. Joseph." God had put him in a position to act in the moment he needed to act. We have to be willing to do that. Pharaoh calls Joseph and says, "What? I've heard you can interpret dreams. I've talked to all my magicians. Talked to all my wise men. None of them can do it. I've heard that you can interpret dreams." And Joseph's response, "Yeah, I can't. But God can. When men can't, God can." I love that. I can't, Pharaoh. That's a little bit of boldness there. He's looking at this man who is his only hope at this point of getting out of this situation. I've heard you can interpret dreams, and he says, "Yeah, I can." I don't know that I would start that way. I don't know that I would do that. I would have went, "Well, see, Pharaoh, sometimes." No, he just said, "I can't." But God can. God will give you a favorable answer. He had called every magician and every wise man. He had called everybody who knew anything. He had searched throughout his kingdom for an interpretation, and it kept coming up empty. His empty religion couldn't help him. His magic ways couldn't help him. His heritage and royalty couldn't help him. Man couldn't help him, but God could. So often we sell things short. We write off things because of their impossibility. "Well, I couldn't do that. There's no way that could happen. Well, we don't have that. There's no funds there. That's not a possibility." But we're writing off God short. Because there's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing that God can't pull us through. In human eyes, it may be impossible. We may go, "Yeah, there's no way we can do that." But God doesn't work on human terms. Our faith sometimes is short-sighted. With God, all things are possible. It doesn't matter what your problem is. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how big the mountain in front of you is. God can move it. God can do what He's going to do. When men can't do it, God can do it. And He can open that door, and He can walk through that with you and show you the way. And He can take you from the dungeon and put you in the palace. That's it. Joseph couldn't do it on his own, but God could do it. Pharaoh couldn't get his dream interpreted by anybody else, but God could do it. There's nothing that God can't do. And when men can't do it, God can and God will. But like Joseph, we can't take credit for God working through us. It would have been real easy if I'm Joseph to go, "Yeah, I can interpret your dream. I can do that." That's not what he said. "I can't, but God can." It's not me that does it, Pharaoh. It's God that does it. God may use us and our abilities, but when it's God working, we can't say it's us. We can't say it's me. "Oh, I did that." No, you didn't do that. If God is working through you, God did that. God's the one who opened that door. God's the one who moved that mountain. God's the one who sang that song. God's the one who preached that sermon. God's the one who did these things. God's the one who gave the message. Joseph hears the dreams and interprets the dreams. And you know, he knows this is God. God is giving you this. God is going to give you. And he even tells him, he steps out, This is faith here. God is going to give you a favorable answer. Remember the cupbearer and the baker? One had a favorable answer, and one was going to die. And he looked at Pharaoh without knowing what the dreams were and said, "God's going to answer you favorably." I think he had heard the story of Abraham at some point. Where's the wood? "Well, we're going to go on and we're going to go do this sacrifice, and me and my son are going to come back." Abraham knew that God was asking him to sacrifice his son, but he knew somehow he was going to come back with his son. Joseph hears this idea, well, you need your dreams interpreted. Okay, I'm going to interpret them. God's going to give me interpretation. He's going to be favorable, Pharaoh. He puts that out there right at the beginning. He hears the dreams. He interprets the dreams. But then he goes a step further there. You know, when we trust God, we have boldness to do things we wouldn't do otherwise. This is what the dreams mean. You're going to have 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine like you have never, ever, 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 ever experienced. And so, Pharaoh, what you need to do is... what you need to do, Almighty King, ruler of the entire known world, let me tell you what you need to do. I know I'm the guy in the dungeon. I know I'm the guy who you've never heard of until today. But you need to find a man and appoint him to run all of this stuff. And then appoint other men to oversee the different provinces. And then you need to take this much grain and put it over here. So that whenever the 7 years of famine come, you'll be ready and you won't be destroyed. That's bold. He's given directions to the king. This isn't a suggestion. He doesn't say, well, you know, king, you might want to. He says, you need to. This is the way to do it. This is how it's done. This is what needs to happen. The way the text is written here, we've departed from interpretation into directions. He is speaking with boldness, telling the king what he is supposed to do. He couldn't do that apart from God. He couldn't do that apart from the Spirit of God saying to him, this is what you tell him. Do this. Do this. Take these steps. God gives us boldness to speak when we don't want to. He gives us boldness to act when we're afraid. He gives us to go when we want to stop. The greatest paradox in the church to me is that God calls sinful men to speak to other sinful men about holy living when they're both guilty of sin. I don't know how many times I've said, well, I don't want to go to church because of all the hypocrites there. What's one more? Come on and join us. God calls sinful men to share holiness with other sinful men. I mean, we're all sinners and we're all called to walk that road. And we're going to walk it and we're going to continue to walk it until we're there. And that's what He's called us to. I mean, the truth is, how many of us would actually listen to somebody who was perfect telling us how not to sin? It's hard to take advice from someone who's never walked the road. I had friends when my parents both had their issues, and Dad ended up in the nursing home, and when they both passed, who wanted to just tell me about all of these things, but they had never experienced what I was experiencing. But then there was that one person who would come along and say, you know, I've been there. I've walked that. I don't know exactly what you're feeling, but I understand what you're feeling. And it's okay to feel that. We are called to share this, to be bold, to proclaim holiness boldly. And sometimes we don't feel like we can, right? Sometimes we go, well, who am I to tell them about that? Look at my life. Okay. Did God tell you to say it? Okay, then if He did, do it. It doesn't matter if you're perfect. You're not going to be perfect. And if somebody told you you are, they're lying to you. I mean, nobody's perfect except for Jesus. And we're called to share these things. And because he was bold, Pharaoh heard his proposal. If Joseph would have hemmed and hawed and said, well, you know, maybe if you would just... He probably would have landed this dude. No, Joseph, this is what you need to do. And if you get this done, your kingdom won't fall apart.
Pharaoh heard his proposal, and it pleased him. And what did he do?
He exalted Joseph to the second highest office in the land. Think back with me where this started, with family dysfunction. Brothers who didn't like him. Brothers who betrayed him. Sold him into slavery. And then he was set up by his master's wife, thrown into prison. He had brothers and a master's wife who were out to get him, but what others mean for harm, God can use for good. The brothers were trying to harm him. Let's get rid of this guy. If we get rid of him, our lives will be better. The master's wife was trying to cover up her own sinfulness. Let's just get him in trouble. Get him out of here. Nobody will listen to him. But what they meant for harm, God was using for good. Others wanted to destroy Joseph, but God used it to exalt him. You know, someone may be attacking you, trying to bring you down. But no matter what it is, God can use it for good. It says God works through everything for the good of those who love him. Works through everything. That pit that you were going through, that conflict you were dealing with, that travesty that has occurred in your life, all of those things God is using to put you in a position that He wants you to be. He is making you and moving you, and others may be seeking to destroy you, but we're promised that God wants to exalt you. God wants to put you somewhere you've never imagined. Sell ourselves short. I don't need to be there. Brother Troy, if you just knew, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. God knows, and He still wants to exalt you and put you where He wants to put you. He knows. He knows about that thing that happened last week that you don't want nobody to know about. He knows. And the fact that I said that might make some of you go, but it shouldn't, because He knows and He wants to exalt you anyway. He knows that He wants to bring you into a new promised land anyway. He takes everything that you have done and everything you have gone through, and He uses those and works through those. We do not grow apart from pain. We do not grow apart from hardship. We just don't. Hardship is what causes us to grow. If we don't have it, we don't grow. And God uses that. God knows that He has designed us in that way. From the very makeup of our physical bodies to who we are within in our character. Hardship causes growth. When we overcome those things, we become the person God wants us to be. And when other people are trying to harm us, well, good luck with that. Because God can take that and use it for our good. And use it for His glory. And put us where He wants us to be. That's where Joseph ends up. Joseph was forgotten last week. He was forgotten. He was left for dead. He was in the prison. He was not getting out. There was nowhere to go. He did not have anybody to lean upon. He didn't know what was going on. That's where he was last week. And suddenly this week, he is the second in command. He is following Pharaoh's chariot around. Everybody's going, dude, that's Joseph. Nothing happens in this land. And look at what Pharaoh actually said. I'm Pharaoh, but nobody will lift a foot in this land unless you say they can. Nobody. I'm Pharaoh, but I ain't going to do anything you tell me I can't. Joseph was officially the most powerful person in Egypt. From the dungeon to the palace. Because of God's faithfulness. Maybe this morning you're in the dungeon. Maybe you've been forgotten. Maybe you're crying out with those questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how. You're going, God, I don't understand. I don't know why I'm here. God, I need you to move. I need you to show me something. Maybe that's where you are. And if that's where you are, I'm telling you, God is working in your life. He is working right now to take all of those things that you were going through, all of those hard times. He's taking all of them. He's working them together. And He's putting them where He wants them to be so that whenever you come through on the other end, when you leave the dungeon, you don't just go walk on the street. You go from the dungeon to the palace. That's what He's doing right now. He's working to make you into the person He needs you to be. Every circumstance. So when you hit those circumstances, don't get mad at God. Say, okay, God, show me the way through because I know You're using this. I don't know how You're using this, but I trust that You're using this. Maybe this morning you're at that spot where you just need to pray. I'll pray with you. The altar's open. You can pray. Maybe you want to serve in missions or ministry. Maybe you want to join this church in membership. Maybe this morning, though, you've never known Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've been spraying perfume to cover up the stench, and you need to be clean this morning. You need Jesus to come in and be your Savior. You need to use the GPS that my brother talked about earlier. God's positioning system to put you where you need to be in His good graces. Maybe now is the time. All you got to do is walk through the house and say, Brother Troy, I want to know Jesus, and we'll go from there. But wherever you're at, whatever you need, give it to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You right now and we thank You, we praise You for Your blessings.